How to Overcome Temptation, Part 63. I think I have something in my eye as well, so bear with me. These things happen. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are going to continue looking at the problem of temptation in our lives. And I want to say, since we've been out of pocket a couple of weeks or so, welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer. Gospel Light Society International is our evangelistic arm, and Gospel Light House of Prayer is our discipleship arm, if you will. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers, young Christians, everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge base that they need to live a victorious Christian life. And yes, you can, dear friend, live a victorious Christian life. The thing that will derail your Christian life like nothing else is sin. Putting forth your hand to do evil, yielding to temptation, putting yourself in situations that are not good. And so that's why we're dealing so long time, as some of our brothers and sisters from other countries say it, is because we're dealing with the problem of temptation so long time is because it is a big problem. And when you yield to temptation, it causes more problems for you. And for some of us, and sometimes, there are some sins that you will never recover from and be all that you could have been. There's just some things that we can do as Christians that can really hurt our testimony and our Christian lives. So our key Bible verse for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God wants us to escape temptation, not yield to it. I feel like singing that song, "Yield Not to Temptation." And if I could sing it by myself, meaning if I could sing anything by myself, I would sing it right now. I thank God for those pastors who have a dual gift of preaching and singing. My dad was one such pastor. Dewey Smith is another such pastor. He can sing just as well as he can preach. And I like that. I thank God when you can go off into a song while you're preaching and not just quote a song. You got something going on. And I like to see that, but I can't do that. If I were able to do that, I would do it right now. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us, quite honestly, Lord, of yielding to many temptations down through the years. And we have failed you time and time again, but you have never failed us. And you have always provided a way of escape. And most of us, if not all of us, walked right on through and did the evil we should not have done. So, Lord, help us not to yield to temptation, because it causes deep problems in our lives. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, our faults in yielding to temptation. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit not to yield to temptation today, not to put forth our hand to evil. We pray this not only for ourselves individually, but for each of our family members, our friends and our foes, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, many we don't even know, around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. Our lesson today, beloved, is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 63. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are going to continue looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We are looking at what the Bible says about these sins so we can be aware of its dangers, and so that we can hide Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. As I've shared with many, one of my temptations is the sin of gluttony. We are going to deal with that sin in this class, because it is one of the seven sins that God has a serious problem with, according to ancient theologians. And so I'm hiding some verses in my heart regarding that now, and preaching a whole homily series on it. And so whatever your sin is, there are some verses in the Bible that will help you to deal with that. The second source is a Barna survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. Today we will begin looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 12. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at Gospel Light House of Prayer, or GLHOPI, Gospel Light House of Prayer International.com, and click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the home page and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, the Bible reads, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. God is talking to his Christian saints, a peculiar people. Why are we a peculiar people? For many of us are Gentiles and not Jews. Peculiar. Saints born out of due time, as Paul was. Peculiar. Born again ones. Saved ones. The gospel came to us. And so we are peculiar people. We are called Christians, and we were first called Christians at Antioch, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I would imagine that would include the sin of gluttony, one of my temptations. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I would advise you to get that done permanently, because we gave you everything you needed to get, and I want it fixed on that site like it's supposed to be. You understand that? And so I would advise you to get that fixed permanently and leave it alone and do your job. From this passage, ladies and gentlemen, we have seen two reasons why we should abstain from fleshly lusts. Number one, because God has made us a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And God does not want us dabbling in sin. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, because as such, our purpose as believers is to show forth or advertise the praises of God. I guess that's the reason why I love that song, "Your Praise Will Ever Be on My Lips." And we might sing that before the next service. Let's dig even deeper into this second reason. God is described as him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The world lies in darkness, and the sexual misbehavior of the world reflects that. It is in this darkness that such things as the scandals involving Harvey Weinstein or Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Bill O'Reilly, and now the funny man congressman or senator from Minnesota, and so many others, black and white, red and yellow, our world is in darkness. And I would advise you to figure out whatever you need to do to make sure that stays that way permanently, forever, as it did earlier this morning. We're living in a world of wickedness and sin. We're in the lap of evil. But God wants us to be little shining lights because of Jesus Christ. We are a peculiar people, and God wants us to be victorious over sin and evil. Rehab won't help these people, and they know it, and we know it, and their victims know it, and the millions who struggle with the same vices. Only transformation of their hearts and minds through Jesus Christ can save them. They must be called out of darkness into light, as we have been. And we're not perfect. But if we are born again, if we are saved, it ought to bother us to put forth our hand to even. I'm talking to saved people. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm going to talk to you in a minute. And it ought to trouble us when we sin. It ought to disturb us when we're being tempted. We ought to run for help when we are tempted with evil. And so, beloved, unfortunately, however, the church often doesn't do a good job of demonstrating life in God's marvelous light. Some of the same behavior that is being dragged out in Hollywood and in secular media takes place in the church, unfortunately. As I shared earlier in a devotional, married women and single women need to have their guard up. You cannot afford, ladies, to be silly-minded, because the cuddly-looking deacon might be a demon. The handsome and dashing preacher who has a silver tongue may be a devil. And some of that dog comes out of people in the church, particularly when women dress with their hugging dresses that hug every ounce of their voluptuous bodies. Or they come to church for other meetings with tight skinny jeans on, showing their derriere, showing their behind, and oftentimes shapely behinds. And you have some evil preachers and some evil deacons, they want you to do that. They won't preach against it. They like to see how fine you are. And certain things begin to come out. They want to hire you in the office, not because they want you to serve the church well. And they want to get you in that office so that they can have authority over you and put their arm around you inappropriately and start working on you. You see, some of you women are so silly-minded that you don't even know when an operator is operating on you. He's walking you down. He's slow walking you down to devour you. As I have said earlier, he does not want to do anything with you. He wants to do something to you. And he's not going to leave his wife, because that would mess up the banking and the bank account. He's not going to leave his wife and children for you. He just wants to use you to satisfy his sexual lust. And they may look like a cuddly teddy bear and act like a cuddly teddy bear, but they are ravenous, doggish, nasty, grizzly bears. And their desire is to rip you apart and strip you of every ounce of purity and virginity and cleanness and holiness that has been a big part of your life since the time you were born. They might preach well, they might pray well, but they're full of hell right in the church. Sexual harassment, we all know, is in the church. How many pastors have a second wife at church? I know a white pastor has an upstanding family in the community, but everybody knows his secretary is his second wife. And I like him. He's a good man. And I hope to God they have not taken it all the way, but everybody knows it. It's a known fact. And we don't know what has taken place, but it happens. And you ladies, single and married, need to understand there are things that men want to do to you and use you. And then they're going to be through with you. They just want you. Some men just want you one time just to say they had you. And you running all up in their face like you're a groupie. or something in the church, or smiling and grinning. And you need to cut out all of that smiling and grinning in these men's faces, because that bear is going to jump out. And then when they have used you and they have done some things to you and you realize it's not going to last, then you want to cry sexual harassment. Then you want to cry rape, because they will rape you. This is why you young ladies who think you're so smart and so cute, you should not let these ravenous grizzly bears in your car or in your apartment, because nobody is going to believe you when you say he raped you. Because the first thing, even your lawyer is going to ask you, why was he in your apartment? Why was he in your car?
Well, I was just giving him a ride. He said I needed a ride to work, you silly-minded little girl.
Silly-minded. That's a lie out of hell. That's the oldest trick in the book. Why was he in your apartment?
Well, he told me his television was broken. He wanted to see the Dallas Cowboys on TV.
You silly-minded, gullible little girl, naive, ignorant. That's another big lying trick in the book that dogs have used for years. It happens in the church. So you wives and you single women, and some of you not only dress immodestly, but the fact of the matter is there are men who want to get you, and we got some fast, whorish women who want to be got.
You say, preacher, now you're blaming the victim.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm stating facts. You got some groupie-like women who want to be got by the preacher or got by the deacon or some little cute man in the church, running all up in their faces, smiling and grinning. I'm reminded of a beautiful woman, very attractive from head to the bottom of her feet. She would pass by every day where I was working many years ago. And she had to go up an escalator. And I saw her every day getting off work. She knew she was beautiful, but she knew how to handle herself. She never gave you her eyes. She never glanced at you. She never looked at you. She was probably married, I hope so. She never came up to you grinning with little silly questions about nothing. She never looked vulnerable. She was powerful. She was strong. And she carried herself like that every day. Somehow she learned that if you give a dog an inch, he'll take 10 miles. Either somebody taught her that, or she learned it the hard way. The wisest way to learn it, a little naive young lady, is to listen to God's word and to listen to your father or to some old wise woman. They can help you. Don't be like so many silly women. When one of these dogs grumble at you, they do it. They'll do it in the church. You come to the door, and they'll say things like, Oh, look at here, look at here. That means that you are fine as wine and just my kind. Now, you don't think that's what it means, but that's what it means. Mmm. You see that as, that dog is grumbling. Yeah, sometimes dogs just kind of grumble at you. They don't say woof woof. That's what that is. Girl, come and give me a hug. You married and got four children. And there you go, all silly-minded and cheek to cheek. And some of you let the Negro kiss you on the cheek, all up in your face. That kind of stuff right there, that'll get you in trouble. You better watch these old dogs who do that. And yeah, that's right. They'll be old dogs. They could be 63 years old and do it. And they got a wife. President George H.W. Bush got one of the best wives in the world. And he's still touching butts. And touching behinds. Almost 100 years old. Trying to blame it on the wheelchair. Listen, you better watch it. You better watch these devils. I don't give a flip who it is, man. President, the Pope, I don't care. Bishop. Oh, I just love Bishop. Do you love Jesus? You need to go to church, worship God, and get ye up out of there and go and serve God. And stop going to the church all the time, running to the church all throughout the week. When you know certain men up there by themselves without their wives. Whatever the church needs for you to do, you can do it at home. Carry yourself with class and dignity. Don't carry yourself like a dog in heat, looking for some man to get you because you want to be got. And the so-called code of silence in the secular world is also present in many churches. Oh, but it's not silent before God. It's screaming loud and clear before God Almighty. He sees it and he's not pleased. And you wonder why so many churches are catching hell. It's because of sin like this in the church. And I don't care if it's a white church or a black church or a mixed church, it does not matter. As a holy nation, we cannot keep living as though we are in darkness. We must drag our own shameful sexual misbehavior out into the light. Amen, somebody. And repent of it and start telling the truth. Some pastors and some deacons and some mission directors need to admit that they are tempted with fine women in the way they dress, showing their breasts and their behinds and their flat stomachs, and some are doing it on purpose just to see if you're going to jump. Seducing dumb, silly-minded men to do things that they will regret for the rest of their lives. Risking their families. Risking their children. And by the grace of God, we need to repent of it and truly begin living in a way that shows the world how God's way of abstaining from fleshly lusts makes for better families, better workplaces, better relationships, and better churches, not to mention a better society. Amen, somebody. And beloved, let me say here today to you ladies, you hear me and you hear me well. If you don't believe, most men have no respect for you. They do not have your best interests at heart. They can care less about you. They're just using you, and you with your little naive, silly-minded mess. You're being taken hook, line, and sinker. The only somebody who cares for you is God, Jesus, and your Father. And unfortunately, many fathers have to be there for their daughters to pick up the pieces. Do me a favor and go to Walmart. On the wall of each Walmart, there are pictures of missing young ladies who were probably, God have mercy, acting silly, not listening to the warnings of their fathers, particularly, and their mothers, and some didn't even have fathers. And we got some mothers who act just as fast and as whorish as they can be, that they could not say anything to the child. Most of the missing are women. But little young men are increasingly missing as well, to be turned into homosexuals and somebody's sex slave. That's what's happening. Do me a favor and go to the wall. When you go to Walmart to buy your Thanksgiving food on tomorrow, go to the wall and pray for those missing. They're missing. We don't know if they're dead or alive. They're missing. Put yourself in that parent's shoes. No doubt many of them are missing because of foolishness and silly-mindedness. Someone stopping them in the parking lot at night, asking for a ride, asking for a dollar. I know of a silly-minded acting person, female in my family. Joker asked her for a dollar on the street, and she, hook, line, and sinker, gave her a dollar. She's by herself. Gave the Joker a dollar. And she was married. And don't think anything is wrong with that. And went inside her house to go get this Joker a dollar. And just silly minded. And didn't think anything was wrong with it at all. You say, "Preacher, I don't like that. I don't like how you're saying that." This is the reason why thousands upon thousands of young women and even married women have been raped on the job. And just now, after 20, 25, 30 years, people are saying something. Listen to me very carefully. That's too long, and that's too late. You might as well, some of these women might as well just keep it to themselves at this point. And that's what thousands are doing. They dare not say anything about it. I'm reminded of a sister. They were together out on their own. And something happened to her little sister as far as sexual harassment and so forth. And the older sister said, "Well, you better not tell your father, because then he's going to say, 'I told you so.'" And he, in her silly-minded thinking, said, "And then he will win, because he told us so, and we didn't believe him." And that's the last thing you need to do, is tell that to him. But eventually she will tell. You know why? Because you cannot live with that in your system when you've been violated. Eventually you're going to tell somebody. And it's best to tell it early, so that hopefully you can get some healing. And so, beloved, if you struggle with lust, or any sin, take this passage to heart, along with the passage that I read to you earlier that is familiar with many of us. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for your preached word. I don't know how you do it through such feeble people as we are, such frail people as we are, such sinful people as we are, but I do give you the glory, praise, and honor for how you take control of a person and you preach, thus saith the Lord through them. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be used by you and to play a small part in your grand evangelistic and Bible teaching and preaching enterprise. Glorify your holy name. Glorify your holy Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray for the salvation of those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, before I leave you, I talked to Christians this morning, primarily those who are already saved and struggling with the sin problem and temptation. And now I want to talk to you. You who have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible also says in Romans 10:9, I want you to recall, back in the back, I want you to recall that I'm presenting the gospel and you got this going on. 10:9 and 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. And that is for those of you who missed it, because the devil is busy, as he normally is, either in the choir box or the technician box. God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son. These are the words of Jesus. That is Jesus Christ. That whosoever, that word whosoever, includes you. I don't care if you are a Buddhist, a Muslim, Hare Krishna, a Muni, or what have you. Makes no difference if you are an adulterer, an adulteress, a fornicator, a fornicatee, a liar, a cheat, a tax evader. You can trust Christ as Savior today, because he died on the cross for all of your sins and for mine. He is none other than the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again by the power of God. The devil and his cohorts do not want you to hear this message this morning. I'll preach it 100 times if I have to, so that you can hear the gospel message. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from a bad life? Not just that. Saved from what? Saved from a lack of purpose? Saved from what then? The main reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins is to save your soul from hell. So, dear friend, if you would believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, he will save your soul. I'll be glad to lead you in the prayer that would ask God to save your soul, and where you would invite Jesus Christ in your heart if you're willing. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, Holy Father God, Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have broken your 10 commandments. Maybe not each one in detail, but according from what I understand of your holy word, that if I break one point in your 10 commandments, I have broken all of the commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins of lying. Forgive me of my sins of lusting and coveting after other things and other people. Lord, please forgive me of my sins of stealing. Forgive me of my sins of disobeying my parents and dishonoring my parents. And save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you pray that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Thank you.